is Peter Tilden.
Talk Radio 790 KABC, Peter Tilden at 10 begins right now. Brought to you by Larry Miller and Sticky Sleep. Of course, it'll beat anyone's advertised price. Your mattress is free. Many things to cover today, but I want to start with the awful incident in Barcelona. They're saying multiple deaths. I'm hearing different reports. I'm waiting for Steve Kastenbaum, a Westwood One News senior correspondent, who may be able to give us the update on the number of those killed, but apparently it was a white van with blue writing that plowed into the sidewalk, this huge crowd, and two men were in it. They're saying they're between 23 and 25 years old. They were carrying something. They don't know what it was they were carrying, but they bolted and went into a bar or restaurant and barricaded themselves in, and of course, it was a popular part of town, and it was packed, and it was warm, and it was beautiful, and there's tourists there, and vehicles being used for terror is becoming more commonplace, unfortunately. And we just had the guy run down in Charlottesville, run down the crowd there and killing one and injuring 20. The Spanish police are saying that they're activating their terror response at this time. And I can get an update right now from Stephen. Steve Kastenbaum is on with us, Westwood One News senior correspondent. Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me. Yeah, as you've been mentioning, the police now declaring this a likely act of terrorism. There are videos coming in now of counterterrorism units going through Las Ramblas, trying to clear the area block by block to make it safe. The van, they say, plowed through crowds there. Officially, they're saying one dead, but there are reports that there are more fatalities and many injured. And some witnesses described one or two people. It's confusing right now, obviously, on the scene, but describing one or two people, that they're looking for on foot, who may have come out of the van, may have gone into a nearby restaurant. It's not clear. We must stress how a lot of the information that comes out initially after something like this is confusing and contradictory. So these are reports that are coming out now, but police and local officials are set to start updating the news media any minute now.
And I know that they're telling people in Barcelona to stay away, of course, but stop posting. They don't want people posting information, I guess, to give whoever's out there any information or give them any geography. Just don't give them right. Don't give them any information. Yeah, there was a report too, Steve, earlier that there may have been a second van. And again, with all the confusion, when an incident like this happens, people running, people panicking, to try and get your all communications all lined up and in a row is very, very difficult in the first few minutes after this happens, or even the first few hours.
And the reason they don't want people posting video is because the police are literally going door to door right now. And when you immediately post video online of police counterterrorism units looking for the culprits, you're giving them information.
Right.
So, that's why they're asking them not to do that.
And they've closed down this area, and it was packed, right? This is a major shopping area in Barcelona, and it's a major time of the day and huge moment right now in the summer for tourism.
Yeah, Las Ramblas is one of the most popular destinations in Barcelona, which is one of the most popular cities for summer tourists to visit. So the area would have been packed. It's loaded with cafes and tables that people just sit out at for hours in the evening. So we were approaching that busy time of day where people start gathering on Las Ramblas. So it would have been very crowded given the time of year.
And Stephen, I got when you started, you said, I know we're hesitant to say how many deaths. I've seen different numbers. Is there a number yet, or we're waiting for the police to confirm?
Well, they so far confirmed one fatality, but there were reports that there are multiple. So we're waiting for official confirmation on the number of fatalities, but there are definitely multiple injuries.
Well, thanks for checking in, and please keep us posted when you hear any more information, and we'll keep everybody out there abreast as it's developing and we get more information. Steve Kastenbaum, Westwood One News senior correspondent, thanks for checking in.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Again, these incidents, when they happen, and I've done too many of these over my 8-million-year career here, the information is a little bit crazy as it's happening. You can imagine the police are trying to discern what's happening. They get eyewitness accounts that they can't confirm. You get two people conflicting. There were two guys. There's one guy could have been somebody who's standing nearby. So we'll give you the information as it happens. The more interesting thing is how these guys get radicalized, and the fact that they go from invisible, they don't exist, they're in their mother's basement one day. And we hear this a lot, that the parents give the interview, I had no idea, I didn't know. And then the next day, boom, they're running a van into people. And the deal is now, if you got a disenfranchised young person and they're online, man, you go to website and you're disenfranchised. I'm looking at this. Who is most likely to join? People who join violent extremist groups tend to score low on measures of what researchers call integrative complexity, a scale of one's ability to think about things in a nuanced, multifaceted way, which makes sense. People who are the most extreme and most violent score low on these types of things. They often tend to think in very black and white ways rather than in much more complex gray ways. And that makes sense that you'd be able to convert somebody who can put blame on a group, blame on a person, and is easily influenced by any kind of hate that a simplistic ideology puts out there. As you know, hate Jews, hate blacks, hate this. Also, childhood trauma is another thing that apparently many members of extremist groups have in common. Researchers at the University of Nebraska at Omaha examined the life histories of 44 white supremacists across the U.S. and found that 45% said they experienced physical abuse, 21% experienced sexual abuse, 46% said they were neglected as children. Rates that are all higher than the national average but are roughly on par with reported rates. And they join because they feel disenfranchised. This gives them something to belong to. That your race is diminishing, that the world is out against you, and they usually do it. I know this from talking to too many experts. They cast a broad net. They don't go extreme right away. It's more innocuous. They may use humor. And then once they hook you in, they get more extreme with their deal and start to recruit you. And once they feel they have you, it gets more focused, and you got a lot of sites on the internet, and you can't police everything, and parents can't see what their 21 or 20 year olds doing downstairs. So we have people out there, and you don't know who's going to be radicalized. Of course, I'm talking general because I don't know specifics in Barcelona. And the report now is one dead, 32 injured is the latest report that's just coming across. Some publications are saying the death toll is higher. Authorities do expect the death toll to rise, and maybe one of the reasons that they are not releasing it is because they're trying to find next of kin first. And again, it's a pretty panic scene there right now. This guy, if you didn't see where it was, took the car right up on the crowded sidewalk and just began mowing people down. So horrific way. I'm sorry, the way to start the show again, yet again, too many times, right, Stephen? We've done this too many shows over time. I've been here a lot of years. And too many times I plan on coming in and talking about light subjects, talking about other stuff, talking about the world today, trying to make you laugh a bit, and have to start it and kick it off with bad news. And it ties into radicalization, and it ties into the internet, and it ties into everything we're talking about, the hatred. And the new normal, I guess, Dino, is we're starting to use vehicles now because it's easy. It's easy, and why plan a big attack when you can do this kind of damage? And also the fear here is it's unpredictable. It could be in Wisconsin, a small town. It could be anywhere. It could be anywhere. So how do you prepare for that? Moving on some lighter notes. Number one, no Powerball winner. The lottery jackpot, good news, $510 million or 72,000 U2 shows, depending on which way you put it for Dino. He's holding his ticket in the air. Why don't you just hand it to Boner, whatever his name is, and just give it to him. Amazon is launching for all you guys out there who are just, you're home at night and you got to get that alcohol. Amazon is launching a 1-hour alcohol delivery service in select cities. I got to tell you, everybody I know from Philly and here, they're not waiting. If you need your alcohol, you're in the car and you're out to get it. In Philly, they have state stores and they close and there's certain hours. So that it would make sense to in Philly because you got to go specific places. I remember when I came out here 20 plus years ago, 25 years ago now, and walked into a Vons and saw at a farm. I walked into a CVS or a Rite Aid and they had alcohol. I thought my head was going to explode. You could buy alcohol. This was like Sodom Gomorrah. I was unbelievable. I'd never seen anything like it. People had dogs. First of all, coming from Philly, they had dogs in stores, which I'd never seen. But you can go into a drugstore and buy alcohol. Holy mackerel. In Philadelphia, the liquor stores are closed Sunday. State stores, and they're closed early at night. So people just load up like that's going to be a deterrent. Anyway, so the good news, Amazon launches a one-hour alcohol delivery service in select cities. Solar eclipse. I just want to mention this. Again, I mentioned it in the top six at six-ish. Don't look directly at it because it can ruin your eyes in a short period of time. And they say also glancing at it. People think if I stare at it, it'll hurt. No, even if you glance at it cumulatively, it can mess up your eyes. But the weird other story about this is that when it comes to solar eclipses, apparently animals are affected by it in a big way. So keep an eye on your pets. There have been a lot of studies done on animal behavior during the eclipse, and this is pretty wild. An abstract done in 1999 during a solar eclipse showed the behavior of certain animals changed. Birds, cattle, bees, and horses felt the solar eclipse about 45 minutes before it occurred. They got quiet. They huddled together. They did some weird stuff. Some of them took money out of the bank. It was just odd, and they don't have opposable thumbs. Anyway, so just keep your eyes on your animals for the solar eclipse, because they may be acting strange before it even happens. And then some people are upset who went to Graceland. Elvis, we did this. Stevie pointed out yesterday that Elvis died 1977 yesterday. And for nearly four decades, the fans go to this procession past his grave at Graceland during the annual candlelight vigil. So and they don't pay a penny. This year, 40th anniversary, $28.75. They chart and they went. Can you imagine the fans there? I'm not getting out of line. By the way, 28.75. Stevie goes, how did they get 28.75? Because it's just under 30, Steve. fans are not happy. They attended the vigil, which began Tuesday night and runs into Wednesday. And all of a sudden, you had to have an Elvis Week property pass wristband to walk up the driveway past the graves where Presley and his relatives are buried. Graceland is saying it also provided access to the brand new $45 million entertainment complex where you can buy, I'm sure, a ton of Elvis stuff. And while you're waiting and getting your wristband and paying that stuff, there's gift shops and there's food and there's entertainment stuff. So I guess they want to try. They made this huge investment. But one person said Cheryl Scogan was third in line on Tuesday morning. And she said, I don't think Elvis would like it if he knew the fans were charged to go up and see. Well, A, he's dead, but B, I guess if he was alive and could benefit from it, you think Elvis would have said, I don't want the money? Anyway, they had bigger crowds than usual. They anticipated much bigger crowds to celebrate his life and his career. And they said, this is to keep people safe. Yeah, well, you want to keep people safe. And you have added security. You don't just throw in there. $28.75, but they did do a $140 million expansion. $950 million of it went to a 50-room hotel, which opened last year. And I guess Elvis is still, yeah, Dina, you think he's as still as popular as he's always been? I know the Beatles, like my kids listen to the Beatles, and probably they're so popular with my kids that the next generation will still get the Beatles and the Beatles music. Is Elvis, though, is Elvis still played a lot on the air, and is the next generation down care about Elvis? I don't know. I don't know how long his legacy will survive, because I don't know that there are many 18-year-olds out there who love Elvis. Yes, Dina, you want to... I know there's Elvis slot machines, but that doesn't mean that people love. Yeah, okay, his brand. All right. I guess. I don't know. I guess they're trying to keep... Look, when you spend that kind of money, man... they're smarter people than me, and if they bought the estate for that kind of money and they put $150 million into it and building the hotel, I'm guessing it's because there's people that are still showing up, or they're stupid. They're really stupid, and they guessed wrong. We got a minute or two here. Let's get into politics in a moment, and this is fascinating to me. Politico did an article on why the president held that Q&A, that news conference, that he's getting pushback from CEOs, from his own party, from Fox News, generals are pushing back. So huge pushback on the comments he made as far as the equivalency. We talked about it a bit yesterday, equivalency between the two groups that protested in Charlottesville. And there's some insight from Politico into why he did what he did, because at first he read a script. Remember, he came out and read a scripted thing 2 days after Charlottesville? And then he felt compelled to do that news conference. And he's elated right now. And there's somebody else, supposedly, who's elated in the White House. A lot of the aides are unhappy because of the pushback. A lot of the aides aren't happy because it created some conflict in the party. The other person, who apparently, according to the reports I've read, that is ecstatic over the pushback, is Steve Bannon. Now, Steve Bannon, the president's strategic advisor, one of the closest people to him, Steve Bannon, we had heard, was on the outs with the president. But Steve Bannon loves disruption. We have the author, Joshua Green, of the book, The Devil's Bargain, Steve Bannon and the Storming of the Presidency, and how Bannon and Trump got together and won the presidency, and how they're continuing to be successful, even for those who don't think they're successful. If you hate Trump or you disagree with his policies or how he's trying to conduct business, Bannon's attitude is darkness is good. Getting this kind of pushback is a great thing. So I'll give you insight. Steve Bannon called a liberal publication and talked to the editor yesterday and gave him an exclusive, a couple days ago, it just came out, gave him an exclusive interview. And he said things that were directly contradicting what the president said. So I will tell you some of the things he said. But the question is this. This guy is dumb as a fox. This guy doesn't give an interview just to give an interview. If you're on the outs, do you give the interview as your parting shot? Contradict the president? Or are you guaranteeing your longevity in the White House by giving this interview? So I'll tell you what Bannon said. And then next hour, you won't want to miss Joshua Green. Like I said, the author of Devil's Bargain. How Steve Bannon was smart enough to beat the political establishment. Remember, they ran against Hillary Clinton. This was a fait accompli. The Republicans were going to lose this election. Hillary was going to win. She had all the money, all of the tools that she needed. I mean, this is a big, big campaign with a lot of money, a lot of logistical support, brilliant pollsters, and she knew how to rally the troops, and it was a foregone conclusion. And this guy attaches himself to Trump and manages to mow down the Republican establishment and then mow down the Democratic establishment and get into the White House. It is a pretty stunning achievement that they were able to do that. So I've got some insight into Steve Bannon. Maybe not who you think he is. It might surprise you who he is. And why did he give this interview to this liberal publication? We'll talk about that in a moment. And you can call, of course, and participate. 800-222-5222 is the phone number. When Peter Tilden at 10 continues right after this. Talk Radio 790 KABC, Peter Tilden at 10 continues. Phone number 800-222-5222. So the president denounced the removal of monuments, see if you can pull that down, to the Confederate figures as sad and foolish. Days after the white supremacists and neo-Nazis took to Charlottesville, he's also attacked went over Lindsey Graham today and went after some other politicians today. We had the conversation yesterday, if you'd like to continue, of course, what they should do with the statues. One woman called and said, put them in museums. I said, maybe give them a little bit of, a little bit of context, put on the statues what and how and about the person rather than removing them. Somebody today, I saw one journalist said, we should take those statues and pair them up like you should put next to a Confederate soldier statue. You should put a Martin Luther King statue. And I'm thinking, what are you going to do? Put Rosa Parks on the horse with Lee, like she's riding behind him. Anyway, there is controversy about that. But there's still, as I said, big pushback for what the president said, and it's not me. I'm telling you who's done it. Executives, CEOs, generals, the military, those in the Republican Party, which is why he's pushing back. And the main reasons is that yes, those on the left, that in Antifa, anti-fascist group, is troubling because they do bring violence. And, but what that does is it allows the supremacists then to say that they're victims. They do infringe on the rights of folks, free speech. They deny racists the right to assemble. And they weren't elected to decide who gets to say what. So that's a problem that has to be addressed. On the other hand, they're against oppression. And they're against those who are vulnerable in society. And they don't celebrate genocide and enforce slavery. And the big question, and I'm sure others have raised it, is why, if you're there to support a statue, why are you chanting the Jews, chanting about Jews wearing swastika and talking about blood and soil, which is German slogan. It's about ethnicity based on where you came from and based on where you were raised. So you're talking blood and soil, and Jews will not replace us. Why are you trying to save a statue of a Confederate soldier? Bit of a disconnect there. So that's why he's getting all the pushback. But I will tell you when I come back with Politico's reporting why he did it and why Steve Bannon is happy, and about the interview that Steve Bannon just gave to a progressive publication. And then we can discuss why he did it. Plus, coming up at the top of the hour, Joshua Green, fascinating guy, author of Devil's Bargain, Steve Bannon and the Storming the Presidency, how they took apart the Republican Party and then completely blindsided Hillary and won the election. And they had everything going against them, and yet Steve Bannon orchestrated it with the president to become elected. Pretty stunning. All right, Talk Radio 790 KBC, 800-222-5222 is the phone number. I'll be right back.
ABC News live and local at 10:31. I'm Jeff Whittle. A van plowed into a crowd of pedestrians in Barcelona's historic Las Ramblas district in what Spanish police are now calling a terrorist attack. One person is confirmed dead and 32 others were injured, 10 seriously. But local media in Barcelona is reporting a much higher death toll, according to the Associated Press. Correspondent Isa Soares reports that one or two armed men carrying something and may have been inside the van are now holed up inside a nearby restaurant or possibly a bar.
Basically, we're hearing from two, three people who are still inside, and they're hiding inside at restaurants.
The Las Ramblas district was packed with people at the time of the van attack, since it is the height of the summer tourist season. A robbery suspect who barricaded himself inside a home in Bellflower around 3 a.m. has been found dead inside the home by members of the sheriff's SWAT team. The suspect, who was armed, allegedly carjacked a vehicle about a mile away, then crashed into a pickup and assaulted a Good Samaritan before breaking into a home in the 17,600 block of Downey Avenue. A woman who lives in the home was able to escape by crawling out a window. The Good Samaritan was taken to the hospital in fair condition, and the dead suspect's name has not been released. In a series of tweets this morning, President Trump criticized the removal of Confederate monuments and statues in the wake of the racial violence in Charlottesville, Virginia.
The president steers clear of his remarks Tuesday about both sides being equally at fault for the Charlottesville violence. On Twitter, he laments, quote, "Sad to see the history and culture of our great country being ripped apart with the removal of our beautiful statues and monuments. You can't change history, but you can learn from it. Robert E. Lee, Stonewall Jackson, who's next? Washington? Jefferson? So foolish. Also, the beauty that is being taken out of our cities, towns, and parks will be greatly missed and never able to be comparably replaced." Bob Costantini, Washington.
Talk Radio 790 KABC Sports. Dodgers rallied to beat the White Sox 5-4 for LA's fourth straight win. Yu Darvish struggled in his home debut for the Blue, reportedly because of a stiff back, and it was his 31st birthday, so now that he's over the hill, you're going to start having back problems, Yu. Now, the Angels beat the Nationals 3-2 for their seventh win in eight games. Dodgers and Angels both off tonight. Jacksonville hosts Tampa Bay this afternoon in preseason NFL football. That's sports on the home of the LA Kings, 790 KABC. Traffic, a market check, weather, and more Tilden at 10. Next KABC News Time, 10:34.
790 KABC, Peter Tilden at 10 continues. Hey, don't forget, we got the high-low game. We also have tickets for Little Steven and the Disciples of Soul at the Orpheum. Plus Kansas, the Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza. I'm going to see Little Steven. I've got the list of musicians who are playing with him. Wow. And you know him, of course, from The Sopranos and a little band called the E Street Band and Bruce Springsteen. Should be a great show. Going to do the news quiz. Next hour, Joshua Green, national correspondent from Bloomberg and author of Devil's Bargain, Steve Bannon, Trump, and the Storming of the Presidency. How these guys beat a machine as big as Hillary's and the Democratic Party and their own party and just blew apart the norms. What people thought you did, what you needed to do, what you needed to say to become president. And now he's there, and he gave this interview to a progressive publication. And it just came out, and he contradicts the president on a big issue, and I'll tell you what that is in a minute. The funniest part of this, though, is the headline a lot of places is, Bannon thought he was off the record. Steve Bannon ran a media empire. He knows if he's on the record or not. He ran Breitbart. He's probably one of the smartest communications tacticians out there. Plus, he's been on radio. The guy knows what he's doing. The fact that anybody's saying he didn't know. This is not Anthony Scaramucci. This is a whole different guy. So I'll tell you what he said in this interview to this publication in a minute. But first, Rick from Lake Balboa, you're on Talk Radio 790 KBC. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Peter. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, regarding President Trump, if he would have stuck to his original premise, okay, and tell me if I'm wrong, I think he was basically trying to say, look, I know that the white racists and you know, nationalists are bigoted. Their message was obnoxious, reprehensible, etc. But this is America. As long as they demonstrate peacefully, they have a right to demonstrate and you know, have their views. And the alt-left has a right to counter-protest. As long as you keep it peaceful, we're good to go. And he sort of shut up and left it at that. This latest tweet, my God, I still don't think he's a racist, believe it or not. It's stupid. He's insensitive. He's naive. But I don't think he's a racist.
I agree with you. I don't think he's a racist either. But listen, while I have you on, I might as well do this. So Politico wrote there's a piece. They said that why he did the next conference and why he decided to defend what he said before. And it's, they're claiming it was because he was upset about being pressured to amend his first comments on Charlottesville. And this is from an insider. In some ways, Trump would rather have people calling him racist than say he backed down the minute he was wrong, one advisor to the White House said on Wednesday about Charlottesville. This may turn into the biggest mess of his presidency because he is stubborn and doesn't realize how bad this thing is getting. They also provided an observation from those in the administration about what triggers him and makes him go off. White House officials and informal advisors say the triggers for his temper are if he thinks someone is lying to him, if he's caught by surprise, if someone criticizes him, or if someone stops him from trying to do something or seeks to control him. So apparently the pushback was because they said you got to go out there and you got to amend what you said. They also mentioned that he decided to send out tweets announcing the transgender ban because he wanted to show his lawyers who was boss after they kept telling him what he couldn't do regarding the proposal. So he let his lawyers know it's his job to make decisions and their job to figure out how to implement it. So that gives a little insight, if you believe or not. I got to run, Rick. But thanks for calling in. 800-222-5222. I'll tell you what Steve Bannon wrote. And what he said to this interviewer, why he called this publication, and how it kind of flies in the face of the boss, the president, right after this. Talk Radio 790 KBC. Talk Radio 790 KABC, that's Kansas. Got tickets for them and Little Steven and Disciples of Soul when we do the news quiz. So let me get to this Bannon thing really quick. He gave an interview to Robert Kuttner, the co-editor of American Prospect, which is a liberal publication. And why would he do that? Why would Steve Bannon do that? This is a really media-savvy guy. He spoke about dispatching rivals, getting rid of rivals in the administration, including the Defense and State Departments, who oppose him and his drive to confront China head-on. That's his big deal, and that's why he called this guy, because this guy wrote a piece on China that he liked. He flatly contradicted Trump's strategy of tough talk in the face of North Korea's nuclear threat. He said, there's no military solution, forget it. Until somebody solves the part of the equation that shows me that 10 million people in Seoul don't die in the first 30 minutes from conventional weapons, I don't know what you're talking about. There's no military solution here. They got us. Meanwhile, Trump is declaring victory. He said there's no solution to the North Korea problem. The White House should stop worrying about getting China's help on that issue and just go hard against Chinese trade, which is what he wants, which is a huge public contradiction. So the question is he doing it to shove it up Trump's, you know what, because I'm out of here? Or is he doing it to solidify his power in the White House and send a message? Again, there are claims that he didn't know he was on the record. This guy is too bright to know that he's not on the record. On the record, he ran Breitbart. He ran a publication, for goodness sake. So he knows what he's doing. Coming up after the news, Joshua Green, who spent a lot of time with Steve Bannon, to talk about how he got Trump the presidency and what's going on behind the scenes now, because it's really interesting and relevant as far as policy, especially since he just gave this interview. Talk Radio 790 KBC.